Hey guys, it's Alyssa, and welcome to Generation Gap.
Hey everybody, this is Kevin.
And this is Alyssa.
And you're listening to Generation Gap, as Alyssa previously let you know. What are we doing this week, Lissa?
Telephones?
Ah.
Sorry.
She's got the hiccups right now. And everybody, to help us talk about telephones today, I'd like to welcome my mother, Connie Shockley. Say hi, Mom.
Hi, everybody.
But yeah, Lissa's got a case of the hiccups right now, and it's hitting pretty hard, but it's pretty funny, so I figure we just leave that in here.
I can help when I did that.
My poor granddaughter.
So yeah, as Lissa said, today we are talking about phones. And I mean, you know, you have cell phones now. That's a predominant choice.
Yeah.
Anything going on is on cell phones. Like I hardly know anyone that even has a landline anymore. I'm pretty sure you do, don't you, Mom?
I do know a few. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you have one?
No, I got rid of mine about a year ago. Decided to just go with cell phones, but you know, they still have all the landline phones, of course, in businesses as well.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a whole different type of property, because I mean, you don't give out individual cell phones to every employee or anything. So I mean, you use that for more business need, and that's kind of one of the reasons why I see that you would never really have to do away with landlines is because of businesses.
Right.
But
right.
But yeah, I mean, cell phones, they're the dominant choice now. Like, everybody you know is going to have a cell phone, and most of them are going to have it by the time they're 5 years old.
Yes, that's different for me.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's really different. But so Lissa, like, how long do you think that cell phones have been around, or like phones in general have been around?
I'm trying to think. 70 years.
70 years.
I don't know.
So that would put us that would put us sitting on track at about 1950, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Mom? When do you think cell phones became a thing? I mean, not cell phone. I keep saying cell phones, but I'm just talking about regular phones here. But I look at phones, or you know, that type of, you know, airing out your communication been a thing?
Well, I'm going to say with Mr. Bell inventing it, I'm going to guess around 1902.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell both of you that you're very wrong. And I thought it was all Bell too, but did you know there was actually an inventor? There's actually two inventors that made communication different before Bell even got on the scene. In 1672.
Oh, wow.
Robert Hooke made the first acoustic telephone. Do you know what an acoustic telephone is?
I don't.
You don't know what acoustic is? Acoustic is basically like your children with the strings in the cup.
Okay.
So he basically made telephones that would go from house to house with a string line so you could communicate from house to house. So that was basically the idea there. And see, even before, well, even after that, like before Alexander Graham Bell came on the scene, then of course, I mean, this is one you'll realize and be all like, oh, I should have thought of that, Mom. But in 1838, Samuel B. Morse made the Morse code.
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you know what Morse code is?
Yeah, Morse code.
Yeah, basically it's just, I mean, for those of our viewers that don't understand, Morse code is basically hitting an electrical signal to another electrical point. And that blast, it's fueled with a quick hit, which is classified as a dot, or a long hit that's classified as a line. And that's basically how they would hit the right amount of dots per letter and then hit your line to do a space in the word. So basically you can have this long beep 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 beep, and it would just like transmit a message to somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's cool how that happened. Now in 1876, that's when Alexander Graham Bell came on the scene. 1876. That was the first actual like voice to voice telephone was invented by Alexander Graham Bell. Now, do you know why he decided to make a telephone?
To talk to people?
I mean, yeah, but there was a specific reason. Do you have any clue, Mom?
You know, I do know this, but I cannot remember, and I'm not making excuses, but we learned this in school, but I've been out of school for so long.
Yeah, I know. Well, Graham Bell, the reason why he did is because he came to America as a teacher for deaf people, mm-hmm. and he wanted to find an alternative way for them to be able to communicate with people. And because he was trying to invent something for that, he wound up with the telephone.
Yep, that's right.
Because he was trying to transmit sound waves where they might be able to hear him, or you know, something like that. But in 1880, he sent the first cell call, kind of like the first cell phone, kinda. Like it wasn't actually like cell phones that you would think this way. It was by something that was called a photophone, and basically all he did was call another one of his phones, but he had that sound wave kind of piggyback on a ray of light. So he made the photophone that can send sound waves via light.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's really interesting stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in 1915, he made the very first long-distance cell phone call from the coast to the coast of the U.S.
I guess that's what I was thinking of, because putting up the, you know, I remember in history books where they put up the cell phone poles, and the men would literally leave their homes and go and join the telephone line workers and crawl up the poles and put the wires and stuff. And that, I guess that's what I was thinking of.
They started putting lines out far. It was like a whole thing, but you know, and see, they kind of did stuff like that, you know, those little like close range phone calls and stuff. You know, it'd be just cities, like people in each city could call each other, but you can't call anyone else or whatever. And see, that was the first long distance one. You know, that's not just going to help with your residential people. It's not going to help with just like, I want to call Bill in New York, you know. It's more like, okay, well, the U.S. Army has to be at this base doing this, so we need to call them ahead to make sure everything's good there, you know, stuff like that. And see, in 1927, the first phone service from the United States all the way to England took place. And they were all radio phones. So it's basically like going off of a radio tower, you know, kind of like the stereo in your car, or like walkie-talkies.
Yeah, that's what I was
stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were all radio service, and they all had really bad like interference and stability.
Like static?
Yeah, like static would come up really, really hardcore and everything. And in order to talk on this thing, it would be 3 minutes, $10. And it doesn't sound like much to you, you know, $10. I guess 3 minutes, $10 does sound like quite a bit. But see, in 1927, when this happened, $10, I did the math before the episode, and $10 in 1927 is $156 today. So to talk to somebody for 3 minutes, it would cost you $156.
Uh-uh, bro, that's too much money. I'll just not talk to people.
Well, I found it interesting because my mom and dad, your grandparents, Kevin and Alyssa, your great-grandparents, my daddy was born in 1936 and my mom was born in 1937. And I've heard them speak about like the first time they ever, you know, like heard a phone ring or got a call or seen a colored TV or not even a colored TV, a black and white TV. It was just like amazing to them.
Yeah, I mean, it's more advanced in technology, so it's like, it's almost like a futuristic type thing that's happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, nowadays we take all that type of stuff for granted.
Take what kind of stuff for granted?
When you get something that's really new and exciting, like when smartphones came out, like, yeah, we liked them and stuff, but now it's just like, eh, whatever, just everybody's got a smartphone. Like, mm-hmm. You don't realize how big of an achievement that is.
Well, like, didn't I get my phone at like...
Well, you got yours when you turned 10.
10?
Or was it 10? I thought it was 10.
Oh, I thought it was younger.
It might have been a little bit, or like 8. But,
yeah, that's what I was going to guess. But it wasn't a smartphone, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of a go phone. But yeah, I mean, that's still better than everybody had back then.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying like it was one of those like small phones.
Yeah.
Then I had it.
When I was a child, Alyssa, oh, I'm so sorry, Kev.
What's that?
I was saying when I was a child, there was no such thing that I knew of as a cell phone. We had strictly landlines, and they were rotary phones. We didn't even have them hanging on the walls yet.
Oh.
And so you would have to... And, like, whenever I was little, I remember, like, as having party lines... And a party line, anybody could listen in on your phone call, and vice versa. It wasn't there was nothing private about it.
Yeah, we'll touch on that here in just a couple minutes.
Okay.
I wanted to get through this history real fast with you guys before we started throwing in our personal memories.
Oh, sure.
But I wanted to tell you about this like quick fact. It's In 1930, they made something called an iconophone, right? Which was basically FaceTime. Like, it had video and audio, and you could look at someone as you called them. Nobody wanted it.
What?
It did really bad in production. Nobody wanted it.
That's crazy. So how did they do the graphic or anything? Like, how did...
I'm guessing it was all black and white. Doing my research, didn't really give a detailed explanation, but I mean...
Okay. That's interesting to know.
Here's another cool fact that I kind of think that Robert and you might be able to look into.
Okay.
In 1947, they made the transistor, which is a gadget. It's a little gizmo for the phone. Which merged it to computers to electronics. So it's like they weren't using tubes anymore. They were using computers, which was basically the first smartphones. And the reason why I'm saying that you and Robert should look into it is the three inventors of this were John Bardeen, Walter Brattain, and William Shockley.
I believe Robert even, I think he knows who William Shockley is, actually.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know if he's related or what, but I mean, I haven't heard the name Shockley too much, so.
Right, it's not a common name, but, you know, and that was in when, I'm so sorry, the phone kind of cut out.
That was invented in 1947. So
okay.
Like, you know, right during the whole, like, World War II and whatnot.
Right. The depression and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess I need to ask you a question if you know, since you've done your research, Kevin.
What's that?
And this might be an interesting question for Alyssa also, but like with it being transition, you know, or transistor or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. Is that kind of linked to like the transistor radio also? What do you know?
I don't know for a fact, but I'm thinking that's kind of where it all kind of like started coming together because, I mean, that was in 47, And mm-hmm. the next batch I have is in from 62. I mean, all that transistor stuff started all happening all then. But yeah, 1962 is when they started doing the Communication Satellite Act was passed. So they started giving permission to use satellites in telecommunications.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if it was linked to that or not. I didn't really get as in depth research, because I mean, there was enough information on all this research that I read that we could be sitting here talking about this for a few hours.
Right.
But, I mean, I was trying to be as vague as possible, you know, at least have some notable moments in it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But we'll go ahead. I only got a few more little notes here, kind of what they did. So from in 1964, fiber optics became a thing. That's basically that's like your lines that you completely run to where like every house can have their own telephone. You don't have to worry about those party lines that Nanny was talking about as much anymore. And everybody can start getting their internet. Without fiber optics, you couldn't have internet or Wi-Fi or anything in your home.
Oh, crap.
So there's that. 1973, the very first cell phone came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the very first cell phone. What you call it? I'm trying to look here. Yeah, the very first cell phone came out. It took a year to recharge it. It had to charge for a whole year to get a full charge. And on a full charge, you have a maximum of 30 minutes of talk time before it dies.
What?
And they were huge.
Yeah, they look like you're calling in an airstrike.
Oh, I could not do that. If I grew, I could not.
So I mean, that happened in 1973. So all this stuff that we're kind of dealing with all the cell phones and the home phones and stuff, it went all the way up till 1992. 92, 1 year after I was born, was the first text message.
Mm-hmm.
That is the first text message that was received. It was in 1992.
Isn't that crazy?
And in 1993, a year after that, that's when your Uncle Dusty was born, they had their first smartphone. And you know what was different about the smartphone? It was basically a cell phone that could send and receive
faxes.
Yeah, so if you like fax a paper to somebody, so like scan a paper, send it to somebody, and then it prints out on their end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It could scan and receive. So you basically have a giant printer with a giant phone with you in a bag. Right?
Yep.
A phone that was in a bag.
Yes, they were.
And in 1998, 64 satellites were set into place. The first actual mobile telephones were made that were not in bags. It was the first phones that you could actually carry around with you in your pocket.
And what?
1998. And those were talking, they're like the old Motorola brick phones that were just looked like phones. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Those suckers were indestructible.
Yeah. And, you know,
then, they started getting better and better with all their phones. 2003, internet is finally on the phone. That was 3 years before you were born.
Dang.
3 years before you were born, we finally got internet on phones.
Well, it looks like we're not the right time.
And in 2008,
mm-hmm.
iTunes and Android became a thing.
Oh, dang. But I was like 2 years old.
And you know, just from that point on, I mean, we're kind of more, everybody's basically familiar with it. We're busting out with our like 5G and, you know, like instant streaming and all that stuff, you know, like crazy stuff.
Free phone if you
come. So I mean, there's a bunch of stuff going on. But we're gonna go ahead and take a quick break. That took a little bit longer than I expected. And then when we come back, then I got a few more things I wanted to kind of touch on, kind of ask you all about, you know, and
okay.
we'll see y'all then.
All right. Bye.
And we're back.
Guys.
All right. Well, yeah, so that basically covered everything that I kind of got, you know, for the history of cell phones. But I kind of wanted to do personal experiences, which is kind of where you were touching earlier. So, yeah, I mean, go ahead. Explain what those party lines are and, you know, stuff like that for Lissa.
Okay. Well, what it was is like, my earliest memory of it is like you'd each like have just a different number, or like numbers and letters would be your house number. And when somebody would call specifically your number, let's say like your C7814, then that if that rang into your house, then you could pick it up and you can talk, but you could also hear other people talking or hear them listening in on yours. So nothing was private at all. And then shortly after that...
And was this like just in a little neighborhood, or was this in like a big, like broad spectrum area?
Well, you know, we lived in the town of Shallow Water, so it was, I don't know if that was just the whole town of Shallow Water. I'm thinking it was, but I didn't even think to ask back then. It was just a common way of life.
Yeah, that was just my kind of question. Was it more like, okay, well, this party line's going to get sent to this party, you know, in this area? Or mm-hmm. is it going to be just this party of this whole city?
Right. Well, to my knowledge, and I could be totally wrong, but to my knowledge, it was for the whole city. You know, like, you just get certain numbers and letters, though, and that shrink it down, I guess, to your neighborhood or your division.
Yeah. But
this was for the whole town. So I guess it just, they separated it depending on what section of town you were in, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I have to have my privacy. I cannot.
That's just how it was.
I would get distracted so easily.
Like, you know how bad it is, like, back when I was a kid and stuff, and like one of us would be, oh wait, you got a call coming in from your girlfriend, and you're over there on the landline twirling the cord talking to your girlfriend, whatever, and then you hear your they're like, oh hey, how's it going, and it just comes in on the line because they went to the other phone in the house.
Mm-hmm. And let's say that, you know, this is another thing I was going to point out, and Lissa, you probably wouldn't have liked it, hon, but on a landline phone, we didn't have call waiting. So if you tried to call somebody, one of your friends or something, and they were on the phone, all you got was a busy signal.
Yeah, just go it beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, like, all right, and you could not break in.
Like sitting there for a whole 30 minutes, beep, beep.
No. Like it wouldn't even connect from that. Like if they hung up and you still just stayed on the line, it would still just go beep, beep, beep until you called back when they weren't busy.
Yeah, or after so many beeps, it'd just disconnect you, period.
Yeah, you just stop.
And Alyssa, do you know what a rotary dial phone is?
No.
You don't know? You should. Well, you probably know what it is, but you probably don't know how to use one. It's that phone that, like, we have toys on where you go...
Oh, that one? Yeah. I know that one. That one looks like...
Yeah, so basically all that was, like, there's one point at the very top, like, where your number would... Like, where you would stop it. So basically, like, it's designed to where it knows how far to turn for one, how far to turn for two. So you'd get one and you'd come over here and then stop it and let go, and that'd be one. And then you come down to like four.
I feel like it'd be annoying though.
And that's how you'd dial.
Like, ooh, turn, okay. Turn again. Okay, turn again.
So like,
see, I remember like the first time that we went from rotary dial to push button, and I was so excited, and then the telephone man came and he hung our phone on the wall instead of it sitting on the counter. That was so exciting. We were all just, all my siblings and I were just going crazy because we couldn't believe that there was actually something that we could just hang on the wall and push buttons instead of, you know, doing the rotary dial. And then we'd get to like stretch the cord out and go sit in the hallway and talk to our friends. That was the most privacy we had then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to realize, like, how much privacy, like even when I was a kid, how much privacy we had. Because, I mean, if mom decided, okay, hey, I'm going to the store, right? She's taking forever, right? I'm sitting at home. I'm like, where's she at? What do you do in that situation right now?
Oh.
You call mom and see where she's at, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't that option for me. Because there was no cell phones.
Yeah.
There was, okay, bye. I hope I'll see you later.
And, you know, and you saying that, Kevin, you and I briefed on this and talked about it the other day, and I was going to tell Alyssa, you know, whenever your daddy and your uncles were little, then there was, like he said, there was no cell phones. So we were driving, and it was kind of a secluded area. And I had a blowout. And I didn't have a spare with me. I know that was silly, but at that time, our cars weren't new. And so we sat there until this elder man came along, this old farmer man came along, and he lent me his spare because it just so happened to fit my vehicle, and he put it on for me. So then Papa John and I went, and we bought us a new tire, and we went and got at the time I got the man's name and number and everything, and we went and returned his spare tire back to him when we got our new one. And you just had to rely on other people and not the phone. You had to trust in other people and trust that they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I never do that.
Yeah, so if you get one of those like creepy serial killer guys that sees you on the side of the road, there ain't no calling the cops from a cell phone while you're in his trunk.
Well, I'd be like,
you're just along for the ride, Lissa.
Well, that's fair. I'd be like, well, Mom, Dad, I'm gonna stand here and just wait. Just go ahead.
But I mean, that's just how it was. Like you know how like a lot of girls sometimes, like, I kind of women more nowadays, but they'll be all like, yeah, I was waiting by the phone for you. Well, because you don't wait by the phone anymore. Your phone's on you.
Yeah.
But back then, if you were expecting a call from someone, you would literally have to just sit there and wait by the phone for them to call. Because if you leave the room or something and the phone starts ringing, you can't get to it on time, you miss the call.
Yep. And it didn't even tell you who was calling.
Yeah. Unless, you know, until caller ID came out, that was really cool, too.
Oh, yeah, that was exciting. Call waiting and caller ID both. That was really exciting. Because,
yeah, you used to not know who would call you.
Yeah.
You just answer.
Yeah, sometimes I don't know who calls me because sometimes I get no caller ID.
Here's another thought for you. What do you do? Say you want to call Papa.
Okay.
How do you call Papa?
I go to my contacts.
Mm-hmm.
Then I scroll down to the P's. And then it says Papa. Then I click on the icon and then I call him.
How many phone numbers do you think you have memorized right now?
Let me think. Give me three.
Okay, well, back then we didn't have no quick buttons.
Uh-uh.
You had to know the phone number for every single person you called.
Oh. If that was me, I'd probably like write it down on a piece of paper.
Well, that's the only thing that they had a lot of back then was like Rolodexes. So like basically it's like index cards on this little like spin wheel that you can twist, mm-hmm. and they're all like alphabetical. Mm-hmm. and you can like write someone's name and phone number on it and have it by your phone so you can roll to see whose number it you need. But I never did that. I just memorized everybody's numbers.
I cannot do that. I'd be like, who are you?
And let me tell you, the people that invented Post-its, they got rich during that time too, because you had to write all that down.
Yeah, but if you take a second to sit back and look at the broader picture and just look at the achievement, you'll have so much more respect for it. Like, we're talking, 1692 was that first date or whatever I had?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a guy that's sitting there putting cups on strings to people. Fast forward to today. People shoot movies on their phones, like straight up big time movies. People surfing the internet. People doing all their business for work over that phone. You know, you can draw on it, you can type on it, you can do whatever with it. Like, that is a pinpoint pinnacles, like, center point of your life right there. Like,
you just used a lot of big words, so I'm like
everybody uses that cell phone now.
Exactly. And I know that this is gonna sound kind of strange, but Alyssa, I want you to think about something. Is your life a little bit more hectic with the way that your phone is now? Let's say you got all these friends wanting to call you and talk to you, and you want to call and talk to them, but there's drama and all that stuff. Well, versus when you didn't have a cell phone, or when you first got your cell phone. I know you was younger, but weren't things simpler then?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's like, I love the technology, but when we didn't have all of this, it was seemed like it was a little less stressful and a little simpler.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have to worry about your Facebook notifications going off, or your TikToks going off, or going to surf on that. This, or, you actually live life.
Yes.
Talking about?
You live life in your bedroom watching stuff on your phone all day long.
Educational
videos. And I'll teach you something. Like, most recent video, how to twerk like Miley.
Jay-Z's new video.
How to make the perfect ASMR, clicking with your fingernails and eating a cookie.
But it's also a blessing with the technology that we do have. I have to say that, because I, us not living, super close together, then I still have the opportunity to see my kids and grandkids. And that's such a blessing to me, because sometimes, just as we as people, especially seeing your children, your grandchildren, that's all it takes, is just to hear y'all's voice and see your picture. And if people would have had that back then, what a blessing that would have been for them. Because back then, the people, we're talking early 1900s, even
you're looking
move
at
away
doors
from home.
And stuff that they couldn't talk to people.
Yeah, they just move away from home, and you don't see your kids or your grandkids. Some people never,
Yeah, because there'd be people that go off to war, and it's nowadays they can at least kind of get a hold of you, via FaceTime or something, satellite phone, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, World War One, World War Two, you would go off to war. And you either show up back home, or somebody in a taxi with a letter that says, "I'm sorry for your loss," shows up.
That'd be some way to read
Well, that's how it happened. In Vietnam and stuff like that, when they were over there and we were dying by the thousands, then they did not have enough army personnel to send them off to give condolences to each individual family. They literally had taxi services bringing stacks of letters of people that died to their families and just dropping them off.
Your husband died. Well, dang, that sucks.
Yeah, my Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, you're good.
My grandmother, Kevin, your great-grandmother, I remember studying and hearing her talk, you know, like how sad it would be because she had two sons in the Vietnam War. And her next-door neighbors, like every time that a patrol car or a military personnel would pull up in front of the houses, then everybody's heart would just sink because they didn't know who it was coming to deliver that kind of news because like you said, they didn't have phones.
Yeah, and see, that's what sucks is because, like, you know, once they head off to that war or once they head off to that place, then you'll remember something like, don't worry, I'll be back. I'll see you when I get home or something. And that would literally be the last thing you ever hear from them because... And it's like all these phones and like technology and, you know, advancements that we've made has, have made it like that much easier to do that type
like,
of stuff.
Like it gave us advantages and.
Like, yeah. Well, that's just like what mom was talking about a minute ago. It's like me and her talking, like most of the time I talk to her is when I'm like either at work or like on my way home or something like that. Like that couldn't happen. If it was just regular like landlines back in the day, because I would have to come home and call her from the house. Like that's the only way I could do it.
But I also wanted to say, like, with these phones and stuff, it's wonderful, this technology, but in a way it's also for me for one, I have become so dependent on my smartphone. I mean, like, so dependent. And if I can't get a hold of somebody and I know that I should be able to, then I start getting almost like a little anxiety because I'm like, okay, what's happened to them and everything? I should be able to get a hold of them right now. They're not answering their phone. There's no reason, you know? And yeah. So, I mean, there is pros and cons to every single century, I'm going to say.
Yeah. And one last thing I wanted to touch on before we go ahead and wrap this thing up, is I was talking to Lissa earlier, me and Jess, and Jess was trying to tell her about her favorite phone that she's ever had, which was the 1990s version of the landline phone that was like clear, like you could mm-hmm. see through it, and it was all like colorful, like the typical 90s teenager stuff. And Lissa like rolled her eyes, like, man, you guys are so stupid and like stuff.
But, like, I did not say that. But, like, he's trying to.
I looked at Jess and I was all like, you know what's funny is just wait years from now when like her kids are gonna be looking at her and be like, what phone did you like? And she's like, oh, I love my iPhone 10 that I got at this time, yada yada. And then all of a sudden they're gonna be all like, oh, what, you still had to have a device? We have this chip implanted in our head where we can see it through our retinas.
Oh my god.
You know,
it's true.
I'm just saying, like, they have like technology advances so much. So, like, what seems silly to you was actually cool to us back then, like an iPhone is to you right now.
Yeah.
But now that it's years later, it seems silly.
Well, I used to have a flip phone, so, and you guys, that was crazy.
No, I had that Razor. I was awesome. I could T9 text and everything. All right, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping this up. So we're going to do everybody's favorite segment. When what segment is that, Mom?
It's going to be the dad joke of the day.
Yep. And we're going to have Lissa do it this week because she was out last week. I mean, I forgot to apologize about that beforehand. She went to her grandpa's house and she got a little sick and we didn't really want to push a podcast at that point because I know how entertaining I can be, but I don't think everybody wants to just sit here and listen to me. So
I just want to say thank y'all so much for having me on. It was my pleasure. Okay,
pleasure. We enjoyed doing it. But yeah, go ahead, Lissa, let it rip.
Bro, I feel like y'all have heard this one before.
Well, maybe there's other people that haven't, so.
Okay.
Okay, you gotta say it, not laugh at it.
Why did the scarecrow win an award?
Why did the scarecrow win an award? Why?
Because he was outstanding in his field.
Dude, what? I'm sorry I didn't get the punchline because she was laughing.
Did I get it?
No, because she was laughing so hard, I couldn't understand. Oh.
Say the punchline again.
What's the punchline?
Oh, so why did the Scarecrow win an award?
Because he was outstanding in his field.
Oh.
And of course, that's been the dad joke of the day. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and lead us out of here. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Generation Gap. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave a positive review to help our podcast grow. Be sure to stop in every Monday at 8 a.m. Central, where we will continue to discuss trends, media, and so much more related to our generations. Thank you, and we hope soon. All right, thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.